In the name of Jesus, amen. She wanted to say goodbye before the cancer would not let her get out anymore. She wanted to say goodbye. She actually wanted to have a going away party because she knew she was going to heaven and wanted to celebrate that truth. And so they put it all together, and she wanted her pastor to make sure that all the people in that little community would have a chance, who didn't know the Lord, have a chance to know the gospel, hear the gospel, so she could say, I'll see you later. I'll see you in heaven. That was a long time ago. She landed on the shores of heaven a long time ago. But she believed in the resurrection. That's what we say in our creed, right? I believe in the resurrection. In confirmation class, when we say the prayers, I always say to the kids, did you say that in faith or did you just read it off the page? You see, there's a lot of things we can do just to read and say without doing it in faith, including this phrase. But think about it. When we say, I believe in the resurrection, we are saying, I am looking forward to the day when I've got a new body and I won't have hitches in my get-alongs and all kinds of different pains and sorrows and sadness. I mean, is that something to look forward to? Amen? I believe in the resurrection. Now, what if our bodies are 500 pounds? Will we care? No. What if they're 5 pounds? I mean, we have no clue as to what we're going to look like other than we're going to live in bodies that will be free of scars. There's a song on the Christian radio stations. I think it's Mercy Me. The only scars in heaven are the ones on Jesus. Even in the resurrection, Jesus has his scars that show the proof of his crucifixion. Isn't that amazing? So now Christians can pray, hide me in your holy wounds. Cover me with your blood. But yeah, the resurrection. Anybody looking forward to the resurrection today? I've been doing it for years with some of my hitches in the get-along. But it's such a wonderful truth to think about life and what it would be to live forever. I mean, that in and of itself is a pretty complicated thing to think about. Our reading today from Daniel is just so full of comfort and just powerful things. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. What an image that is. Sleeping in the dust and waking up. Isn't that a powerful picture of the resurrection? Some in graves, some scattered in the mountains, some scattered into the lakes, some lost at sea. They'll awake. They'll awake. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's powerful. That's powerful. And that's why we say, I believe in the resurrection. And it's pretty powerful to think about what it means to live free of suffering and sorrow and death and sadness and aches and pains. But for some, they'll live forever in shame and everlasting contempt. Shame and everlasting contempt. This is sober. This is real. This is just how important our day and our time is for God's family that are first responders. Agents coming to the rescue of those who are spiritually dead and blind to what's coming. And one day they'll face. I believe in the resurrection and everything it entails, even though I don't know much about the resurrection. And yet we have people in the scriptures that talk about it. Of course, Jesus is it. I am the resurrection and the life. To say I believe in the resurrection is to say I believe in Jesus. And Job 19. Oh, that my words were written and scrolled in iron and lead. I know that my Redeemer lives. And even after my skin has been destroyed, I will see him standing on the earth with my own eyeballs. I mean, boy, we'll have eyeballs in the resurrection. I mean, there's just so much to this. It's just so amazing and wonderful. I believe in the resurrection and all that it means. So, we don't have a lot of space for sermon notes, but I want you to flip to the front of your worship folder and take out something to write with. And I want you to write on that last will and testament of, not your name, but I want you to write next to that a list of your four top people, places, and things. You know, and I just want you to write this list down. And I'm going to take some time and think about the list I wrote at the first service. I might change it a little bit. So write down your four top things, people, places, and things that are precious to you, people that you love and care about so much. Just write those things down. It'll take a few moments. Top four people, places, and things. So I don't want to mess too much with your universe, but I'm going to mess with your universe. Unless the Lord returns, and today would be fine for me, and I mean that most sincerely. Unless the Lord returns soon, we're not going to get out of this world alive. Just telling you. I know that might mess with some of your universes, but let's get into that a little deeper. Your four things on your list. Slowly start with your list and mark off one of those. Just put a line right through it. This is what happens when all of a sudden you're facing health issues. And now mark off another one. Cancer's going to kill you. You know, this is an exercise we do in Stephen ministry training because we want our Stephen ministers to have some empathy for those who are going through catastrophic things and how their world is being rocked to the core. And how challenging it is to face these things. Now, just strike everything off. That's a fatal traffic accident. That's a massive heart attack. I mean, 30,000 people in America die every year from accidents in their home. Who wants to go that way? Although it's a pretty quick way to go. That's just how quick everything can change. You know, tomorrow's a mystery. Yesterday is history. And today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. And the Lord would have us live understanding what it means to live in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. He wants us to live in this kind of confidence. Whether we live or die, we know what the Lord has done for us. And we can say to those we love, I love you and I'll see you later. Or, I love you and I want you to know what Christ has done for you so I can see you later. Where I'm going, that you may be where I am. You know, that's what Jesus said to us first. And he wants us to learn how to say that with others. I mean, think about it. We live in a crazy world where all kinds of things are messing with us. And yet we can have a confidence. I believe in the resurrection. I love you, and I'll see you later in heaven. I mean, what a privilege to be able to say that. Maybe one day you'll want to have a going away party for you with the kind of confidence you have in Christ. Or am I messing too much with your universe today? And yet this is what we mean when we say, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. Certainly, hell is forever too. But here's the good news. No one has to go to hell. Your trip, my trip, our trips to paradise have been paid in full by Christ and what he willingly did once for all. I just love that phrase in the Sermon to the Hebrews. Once for all, once for all. He did it for you, he did it for me. It's interesting. One of the seven words, final words that Jesus says, or phrases from the cross, is, it is finished. And it's fascinating. The doctrine of justification can be is explained in the scripture in a number of different metaphors or pictures. And the paid in full, it is finished, is a commerce metaphor. It has to do with business. And so in Koine Greek, in Jesus' day, when bills were settled and the final payment was given, the one who owned the bill and wanted to be paid for it would write to telestai, paid in full. Jesus has paid in full our debt for all of our sin, transgression, and wickedness. All the ways that we have rung up this massive debt with God to telestai, paid in full. We've been redeemed. That's another commerce metaphor. By his precious blood. To use another metaphor, no one can hold our mortgage. We have been freely purchased by Christ. The only one who owns us is Jesus. Sin, death, and the devil doesn't own us. Our past doesn't own us. The sin that maybe you're struggling with right now doesn't own you. Not only that, but your passage to the shores of forever, you don't even have to pay for. It's been paid in full. And that's a part of what we mean when we say, I believe in the resurrection. Even your bodily makeover has been paid in full. Whatever we look like in the resurrection. It's interesting how the disciples didn't recognize Jesus. How the women didn't recognize Jesus. He had to speak to them. He had to show them the scars. The resurrection, you're different. I'm different. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. And so we live every day, leaving a legacy of faith. Now, how much does I believe in the resurrection affect all of that? God only knows. But this is a fundamental part of our faith. Because Jesus is the resurrection. So every day you can leave behind a legacy of faith. What it means to live and follow. What it means to talk with Jesus. What it means to trust in him as you go through all the crazy things that are going on in our culture these days. That's the legacy of faith you can leave every day. But there's something else you can do. Now, this is the second congregation that I have served where there have been these resources. When Frankie Krause passed away, I went to my desk and I pulled out a file folder that had something that she had prepared for her memorial service. And it had some hymns and some Bible passages and can't remember other things, but I used all that with the help of others helping to put together a memorial service for her. Now, in one other congregation I served, it was a little bit more detailed. where there was more. Tell us your favorite story about Jesus, or tell us why you love Jesus so much, and so forth. I even have a straw man file in Word that I could send to you that's a full exercise of helping you having you put together a memorials bulletin for you if you'd like to go that far. Or is this messing too much with your universe? I mean, my mom has two obituaries on my laptop. And she got that from her dad, who wrote his as well. I guess it's a Norwegian thing. Kind of weird. Does that mess with your universe too much? But why do Christians do these kinds of things? Because they want to tell others about what they think about Jesus and what he means to them. It's fascinating. I've had such a privilege. And there is nothing like being able to say to the wayward grandson or to the struggling adult son of a mother or father or grandmother or grandfather who just knew the Lord, loved the Lord. There's nothing that a pastor loves to do more in a memorial service or a funeral service than to say to the living, heed this person's faith. I mean, if you talk to pastors, they'll probably say, well, I'd rather do a funeral or a memorial service than a wedding any day. Not that weddings aren't good. It's just that living together and all the other stuff that goes along with them can be too much of this world. But to really point out and talk about the resurrection and how even this person's grave or their ashes are only temporary. I've had a lot of fun over the years taking confirmation classes to the graveyard for a picnic to just talk about those who have died in the faith, whose legacy of faith continues in the congregations that I've served, that they've grown up in, to tell the stories. To say, as final as this may look, as painfully permanent as death may feel as we miss the loved ones that we think were taken too soon, it's only temporary. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. If you'd like to put together some songs, some hymns, some passages of Scripture, if you'd like to share with those that you leave behind, and one day you will leave people behind, write out how you love Jesus. Print it out. Put it in your Bible. If you're compelled to, email a copy of it to me and I'll put it in the file, so that whoever is present can pull it and say, what a wonderful testimony this is. In the meantime, when someone asks you how you're doing this week, I want to challenge you. We'll even do a practice. When someone says, how's it going? Just say, I'm looking forward to the resurrection. See if it starts a conversation. You might have to say, I mean it most sincerely. They might think it's a joke, right? So let's just practice this. How's it going? Gosh, is your day that bad? Ask me. I'm looking forward to the resurrection, and I mean that most sincerely. I really like my life. There's so much I'm thankful about. But man, there's a lot of crazy things going on too. And I just hope Jesus comes today. Want to ask me anything after that? You know, and if you say something like that, you might just scare them to death. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. Oh, I hope he doesn't come for a long time. I mean, it's just fascinating, you know, when we really start thinking about our teachings, our doctrines, how wonderful they are, how rich they are, how encouraging they are. How saving they are. I mean, our readings today are pretty sobering. I mean, Jesus sounds like, you know, well, pastor, are you having a hard day? You're thinking the whole temple's going to be destroyed. Well, it actually is now. His words are trustworthy and true. But what's fascinating about our Old Testament reading is the mission focus of it. Let's read it together. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You know, that's about you. That's about me. Who share the gospel that turns people to righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but it saves them from self-righteousness. And it teaches them that their righteousness is in what Jesus has done and done alone for them. And to those who share that good news with those who are lost, spiritually dead and blind, who become alive in Christ, they'll be thankful just like you and I are thankful. I believe in the resurrection. And because of that, I'm led by God's grace to live to the best of my ability, a legacy of faith every day. And boy, it needs the blood of Jesus every day too. I mean, maybe if we just tell that to people every day, they'll realize it's not about being perfect, it's about being forgiven. It's about trying again, loving again, stepping forward again. It's about writing your own obituary for those who are okay with that and it doesn't mess too much with their universe. If nothing else, it's just sharing the favorite songs that have blessed you. People that believe in the resurrection do those kinds of things. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.